Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And we're going to go to chapter 10. This will be some familiar scripture to a lot of us. Romans chapter 10. Again, the topic is going to be evangelism. This is kind of the heart of it right here. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. So if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 8 through 17, goes like this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith we are proclaiming. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We'll end right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, my prayer once again is that the word that was just read is what's going to penetrate our hearts. And Father, you have appointed me to expound on those verses here this morning. And I just pray that the Spirit will lead me to say exactly what it is that you want me to say here this morning to your people, to myself, so that we can all learn, that we can all grow, that we can all learn more of your truth. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Everybody in this sanctuary falls into one of two categories. Either you are saved or you're not. There's no gray areas. Either you're saved, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life, and you have eternal life, you'll go to heaven when the Lord decides to take you, or you're not. One or the other. If you're over here on this side, that you are saved, you are saved because somebody evangelized you. Somebody during your time here on the face of this earth, maybe from a small infant to a teenager to a young adult, whatever age it might have been, somebody evangelized you. Somebody shared with you the word of God. And usually it's not just one person. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been mom. Might have been dad, might have been a pastor, might have been a TV evangelist. The list goes on and on and on. Might have been a co-worker. And it's usually not just that one person who provides everything for you. It's a little bit of this person, a little bit of that person, a little bit of this person, until one day it all makes sense and the light comes on and you get saved. So, I need a volunteer here this morning. Who wants to come forward and be a volunteer? I knew Amber would put her in. Come on up here, Amber. Okay. Amber's our volunteer. We're going to do a couple things different here this morning. This definitely goes against Preaching 101. Preaching 101 says, don't bring anybody forward. But I'm going to do that here this morning. Okay, we're gonna play, and you know what? You don't have to do anything except stand right there, Amber. Okay, Amber is no longer Amber. Amber is now Jane Doe. We got to give her a generic name, right? So Amber is now Jane Doe. Jane Doe is not saved. You're not saved, okay? And for the sake of this little role-playing thing, okay? All right. Do we want Jane Doe to be saved? We do want Jane Doe to be saved, don't we? Okay? We would, all of us in here that are Christians would testify and say, we want Jane Doe to be saved. Let me ask this next question. Why? Why do we want her to be saved? Why? Because, somebody help me out. Because what? Because God wants her to be saved? Why? But why do we want her to be saved? Because, oh, Jane Doe's answering her own question.
We want her to have what we have.
We want Jane Doe to have what we have. What do we have? We have salvation. We have eternal life. We have joy. We have all those things that the Bible outlines. Because at some point in time, we made a commitment to Christ, and we are His, and He is ours. And we want Jane Doe to have that, don't we? Okay, now here's what I want you to do next. Look at the person to your left and to your right. Kind of look around the church and look at all the different people in this church. Okay? A lot of us, we have men, we have women, we have young, we have old, people in between. Okay, you got a good look at everybody, right? That person that you looked at, assume, I hate that word, but I'm going to use it, assume they are going to do absolutely nothing to evangelize Jane Doe. Assume they're going to do nothing to evangelize Jane Doe. Okay? That sometimes is a good place to be. Because when you go home today, and at some point in time between now and tonight, you are going to look in the mirror to make yourself pretty or whatever you're going to do. That's the person who needs to evangelize Jane Doe. The person that you're looking at in the mirror. That's the person who needs to say something or do something in the life of Jane Doe. I can't expect Phil to do it. I can't expect Margie to do it. I can't expect Pete to do it. I can't expect Lilia to do it. Although Lilia and Pete and Margie and what's your name again? Phil, although they might do something, I can't assume that they will. I have to have the responsibility of saying, I want Jane Doe saved, that I need to do something for life. Jane, thank you so much. You can sit back down. I might call you back up again a little. We can never look at it as somebody else's responsibility. I can't say, well, you know, Cindy's going to do it. I'll just let Cindy do it. You know, Cindy can do that. The Bible clearly teaches that we reap what we sow. How much do we evangelize? How much do we tell somebody else out there about what we have because we want Jane Doe to have what we have? Sometimes not as much as we should. One extreme says this, and I know I've covered this the last couple weeks. If we do nothing, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. If I never tell Jane Doe, I'll have to assume she'll never know because I have never told her. On the other hand, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 25, that the more we do, the more God's going to give us to work with. He's going to put people in our lives. He's going to equip us. He's going to do this. In Matthew chapter 25, he says, and I covered this last week, he has given us all talents, right? The parable of the talents. He might have given some of us one, some of us two, some of us five, or some of us a range of talents. And he's saying, whatever I have given you, you need to take that and go on out into the world and use that. If he's only given Cindy one, he only expects Cindy to use that one. If he's given Dan Fields five, he expects Dan Fields to use all five. I don't know how many talents you have, but are you using the talents that God has given you? Whatever. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and beyond, it says that there was, again, an argument going on in the Corinthian church, and he says, some of us plant, Apollos planted, and I watered, and who made it grow? God. God makes it grow, right? So some of us plant, some of us water, but it's going to be God that's going to make it grow. I'm going to shift gears here to 1 Peter chapter 2, and then I'm going to bring out the easel, and we're going to do something really interesting here in a second. 1 Peter chapter 2, this is kind of what I was reading and a place where I was at when we were talking about Christian conduct here about a month or two ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this, "Live good, such good lives among the pagans that, though they curse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." You know, it doesn't amaze me that sometimes the unbelieving world out there just kind of doesn't like us Christians. But we can't give them a reason not to like us. We have to let our good deeds shine. Doesn't that what the Bible says? We need to be lights, a light in the world. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be a light shining out there in the world so that they will see our good deeds and they will glorify God on the day He visits us. And just by that, by our good Christian conduct, is how we can let our light shine, is how we can plant and how we can water. Just a couple weeks ago, Francis of Assisi said this, "Preach the gospel to everyone that you meet, and if necessary, use words." Our witnessing, our planting, our watering. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, comes in six different varieties. It could be gold, it could be silver, it could be precious stones. Or it could be wood, it could be hay, it could be straw. So what we're going to do here this morning is I am going to ask you to help me. I have some notes written down here. So I'm going to call this planting and watering. And I know you people over there, you can't see me because I'm kind of over here in the way. So what I want to know is, and I've kind of said it before, so I'll give one generic answer. How do we plant and how do we water? So one would be our conduct, because I've already said that. So I go, and I know that's very generic, it's very general, that covers a lot of different ground right there, but our conduct is one way that we plant and water. But I need to solicit the congregation here, so help me out. Not the ways that God does it. How does God use you, how does God use me to plant and water and evangelize into the lives of Jane Doe, who is an unbeliever, who needs to be saved because we want her to have eternal life? Help me out. Give me some ideas here that I can write down. Our testimony. Okay. I'm going to put that, our testimony. And I like that because our testimony is just that. It is our testimony. Every one of us, if we are saved, got saved in a different way under a different set of circumstances. And that is our story. And if we know nothing else, we know our story. Our story certainly can plant. Our story can certainly water. What else? What's another thing that we can do or say or whatever? Helping others. We can help others. You know, if Beech Grove Church, you know, quite often Beech Grove Church sends, we make donations to the food pantry to different causes, and I'm sure we'll probably send some relief money to our friends in the midsection of our country who are going through tough times. And you know, sometimes that person sees, oh my goodness, we got this from this little church in Nelson County, Virginia. We watered, we planted just by sending something. Amber. Say that again? Okay, let's save that for page number 2. Now, we can... let me rephrase that a little bit for you, okay? Share the word. Okay, that's going to go over here too, but I'll put that up here. Okay, we can share the word. We can share the word, and again, that's going to be more on page 2 when we get to there. Billy! Okay. Okay, but that's something that's, but I'm talking more specifically, Billy, what I can do to fill. What can I do to, I can tell let go and let God, but that kind of probably comes up here with sharing the word. Okay, I'll put it up there, and I've convinced myself. We can just tell others, again, very similar to this, tell others about God, okay? Again, that's more going to be on page 2. Okay, anything else? until I get into my list. Cindy, we can listen. We can listen. So we don't do all the talking. We do the listening to what they're going through. And eventually we might do a little bit of talking, but we'll start with some listening. That's good. I never thought about listening because I do all the talking. Kim, what's that? We can pray. We can pray. And I'm going to take that one step further. I was hoping you would say that. Pray, P-R-A-Y. We can pray. And I'm going to say this. And tell them that we did. Okay? You know, Jane Doe was up here. I can pray for Jane Doe all day long, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with praying. But sometimes I have to tell Jane Doe, I'm praying for you. So not only should we pray for them, but sometimes I need to tell them that we are praying for them. Any other way that we as people can plant and water into the lives of unbelievers? Greg. Be available. Okay. I never thought of that one, but that is going. In case they might have questions or concerns, be available to them. Okay? All right. Then they know that they can come to you in their time of questioning or their time of need. I got a couple more that I have written down here. I don't want to get too low here. How about this? Did you ever see billboards out there? You know, they have the God billboards out there. I don't know if you've ever seen them. There's like a bunch, 20 different ones. And one of them says, hope to see you Sunday, signed God. Now, I mean, that's good. I mean, it plants, waters, and we can do that with a billboard. How about this? Our vehicle. Okay, our vehicle. You know, you could maybe put a bumper sticker on your car. Some people have the symbols on their car. Some people have personalized license plate with like scripture verses on it. And I just warn you with this one. This is a way to evangelize, but if you do this, drive accordingly. Okay, drive like you're obeying the law. Okay. Like you are a real Christian in the driver's seat of your car if you're going to advertise God on your car, pretend like he's in it, okay? All right, our vehicle. Okay, anything else? I think I got one more down here. How about this? This is something I just did over the weekend. I changed my voicemail message on my cell phone, okay? So if somebody calls me now and they don't get me, they get my voicemail, guess what? They get planted and they get watered on, okay, through my voicemail message. You know, I could just say, this is Mike, leave a message. Okay, that's good, but, well, guess what? They get a little bit more than that. I know what y'all are going to do. Everyone's going to call my voicemail this week because you're curious. What does that voicemail say? Well, I purposely won't answer the phone. Missionaries. Well, that's certainly the general term. I'll put that down here. Missionaries. Missionaries do a whole lot of, I'll just put mission, I just spelled that wrong, missionary. Okay, missionaries. Okay, missionaries certainly do, they go on out and plant, because that's what they do. They have been called by God to go out into foreign lands. Remember the Christian Conduct sermon series here about a month or so ago, Beth? And Beth had three things that she had going for her, kind of ways that she wanted to evangelize in her office area. She had, one, she had scripture verses, S-C-R, she had scripture verses on the walls, okay? If you walked into Beth's office, you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was a Christian because she had maybe some pictures or some scriptures on the wall. And another thing that she had was business cards that she handed out. And when she handed out her business cards, they had a scripture verse on the business card. And the last thing that she had was when she sent emails, and I'll just put that over here. When she sent emails, at the bottom of her emails, where she signed her name, she would put a scripture verse, you know, Psalm 119, whatever. These are really good things to do. These are ways that we can all plant, that we can all water. Now, certainly our conduct is going to be a good thing. Missionaries, there are people, we're all in a way, we might not be going to Africa or to New Guinea or someplace like that, but, you know, there's a mission field right outside these doors. Okay, right outside these doors, Beach Grove, Nellie's Ford, Augusta County, Nelson County. There's a mission field everywhere, my friends. Our testimony always speaks volumes because it is what the Lord has done in me. We can help others. We can share the word. We can tell others about God. These two kind of go together right here, and they're going to show up on the next page. We can listen when other people to share their beliefs and their concerns with us. We can certainly pray when we can tell them. We can be available, and we can do these other things. We can do all these things in the lives of the unbeliever, in the life of Jane Doe, who is standing right here. I'm going to take these two out of here just for a second. Pretend like they're not here because they're going to show up on the next list. Now, don't get this wrong because I want to make sure you hear the whole thing. These things in themselves will not save Jane Doe. Okay? These things in themselves do not save Jane Doe. Bear with me, okay? We'll come around to that. They in themselves do not save. I can be the best person in the whole world and Jane Doe can watch me, but that's not going to save her. I can tell her my testimony and that's not going to save her. I can help her and give her money and that doesn't save her. I can listen to her, that doesn't save her. I can be made available, that doesn't save her. I can do these things. She can see my vehicle and see that my bumper sticker says whatever it says. That doesn't save her. What does save us? What does save us? And that's where we're going to go to the next page. We'll come back to this here in a second. We'll come back to this in a second. Well, what does the Bible tell us? What saves us? Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And you'll notice in your bulletins there's a bunch of fill-in-the-blanks, and we're going to kind of go down through them here rather quickly. And if you want to just write a word or a keyword in each blank beside that. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Heading, gospel. I am not ashamed of what? The gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Verse 17, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be saved. So what do we need to do? We need to hear gospel. Gospel. My good conduct is not going to save Jane Doe. The gospel is going to save Jane Doe. So where do we go from here? The next obvious question would be this. What is this? What is this? So what do I have to do? What do I have to say in the life of Jane Doe that's going to save her? Time out. I don't save Jane Doe. Phil doesn't save Jane Doe. Erlene doesn't save Jane Doe. And Kim doesn't save Jane Doe. Who saves Jane Doe? God. Jesus, God. But he uses Erlene, he uses Mike, he uses Phil, he uses Kim to bring the words that save into her life. So now, let's go down through them here a little bit. Back in October, I preached this sermon series called Biblical Salvation 101, and the question was asked, what is the minimum that I need to know to be saved? What is the bare minimum that I need to know to believe to be saved? And I don't know if I know the answer to that, exactly what that is, but I'm going to write a whole bunch of things up here that I think are necessary, that we should know anyways as Christians, to be believers. And the first one would be this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible tells us this, that God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have to come to the knowledge of the truth. K-N-O-L-E-D. We have to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm just going to go off on a tangent, and I promise I won't spend very long on this. There's way too many churches getting away from this today. Way too many churches getting away from the knowledge of the truth. They want to save you and do all this other stuff except preach to you the Word of God. Okay, I'm off my high horse. We have to come to the knowledge of the truth, my friends, if we're going to get saved, or if we're going to bring a salvation message into the life of someone who needs to hear it. The second thing, I think it says Romans 6:23 would be the next fill in the blank. We have to know this, and I'll just write a key word down here. Sin. Sin has separated us. I tell Jane Doe, I say, Jane, you need a Savior. Jane, you need a Savior in your life. But I never tell her why she needs a Savior. She needs a Savior because sin has separated her from God. And a Savior is what's going to save her. A Savior is what's going to bridge that gap between her sinful situation and God. It's going to be restored once again. She has to know that she's a sinner. When you were saved, did you say, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved? I bet you did. I bet you realized that this is what I am and I need to get back home again. So we need to make sure that when we preach the gospel message, that the people know that their sin has separated them from God, because otherwise, why do they need a Savior? They need a Savior because they have sinned and they are separated. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the next little blank there says this. Okay, so Jane Doe comes back to me and says, well, how do you know all this? I know all this because the Bible tells me so. The Bible is the only authority in the world that's going to tell anybody the message of salvation. These have the words of hope. My friends, let me assure you, the Quran does not have the words of hope. The Book of Mormon does not have the words of hope. None of this other stuff from these other religions have the Book of Hope. There's only one message, there's only one book in the whole world that has the Book of Eternal Security of Salvation, and that's found right here in the Word of God. Amen, Beech Grove? Amen. And by golly, that's what needs to be preached. The Bible has the answers to the questions. If you get back here, Cindy said, we need to listen. Well, when we listen, when it's time to talk, when we listen, one of the things we have to certainly tell them is this. I rest on the authority of the Bible, because the Bible has the words of salvation. So, the next thing that they need to know, next thing that's part of the gospel message, is this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God, and not by works. Not by works. Not by works. I'm going to give away a little bit of my 3.5-hour session with my brother that I had, which prompted this whole sermon series. When I'm trying to evangelize to him, he, as most people, are under this impression that God has a set of scales, good and bad, good and bad. And if my good outweighs my bad, I'll make it to heaven. I had to tell him, brother, we are not saved by works. Our works don't get us to heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. It is a gift that is from God. So it's not by works. And I'll tell you, a lot of people are going to stumble on this because it is such a human thing to think that I have to do something. I have to do something. What is it that I have to do? You got to believe. No, I got to do something. I got to do something. Like I told my brother, I said, you know, if I told you that if you to be saved, you needed to climb to the top of Mount Everest, I guarantee you'd be out there buying all your supplies and going into training to do it. You don't do it by works. Not by works. We're not saved by works. So what's the next part of the gospel? We must believe, John 8:24, that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is God. He's just not some good teacher. He's just not the carpenter's son. He's just not this man who walked the face of the earth about 2,000 years ago. He is God incarnate. And in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says this to the Pharisees. He says, I told you, you will die in your sins. Die in your sins. Point number two, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am. Who does Jesus say he is? He says that me and the Father are what? We're one. We're one. Jesus is God. If you believe he's anything less than that, then you're trusting in the wrong Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible is Jesus who says he's God. And that's what makes the Quran wrong, because the Quran says he's just this good person. Sorry, my Muslim friends, we need to evangelize those people. We do. We do. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. So, we need to believe that Jesus is God. Number six, We need to know that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. From Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, "There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood." The cross. The cross is the pivotal point in Christianity if we don't believe that Jesus died for our what? Sins. If we don't know that He died for our sins, we will never be saved. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Remember, I said back in October, the whole cross, the sacrifice on the cross, it was predestined, it was prophesied, it was substitutionary, it was voluntary, and it was complete. There's nothing else that needs to be done, no works, no nothing else. It was good once and for all that all we have to do is believe that the sacrifice was adequate. His sacrifice on the cross was good. The next point, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is the only, I can't write that big enough, the only way. He's the only way back to the Father. Jesus says this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me," except through me. Jesus is the only way. I remember going to a class one time, and I won't mention the church. And in this class, the teacher who's teaching me how to be a good Bible student says this, "Oh, for Christians, Jesus is the way. But for those people over there, they have their own way. And these people over here, they have their way. And when it's all said and done, we're all going to meet up in heaven together as long as you follow the ways that you are taught." My friends, that's called universalism, which says that everyone is going to get saved. And this guy is in a Bible class teaching me about the Bible. Shame on him. Shame on him. Jesus Christ is the only... And I stood up and I said, "You can't honestly believe that, do you?" And he says, "Yes." Well, I can tell you this. He didn't read it in the Bible. He didn't read it in here, because Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets there except through Him." He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. So, let's move on to the next one. Romans 10:9. Oh, we just read this morning. "We must confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord." I don't know how many times I got to say this again and again and again. We've already said up here that Jesus is God. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord. He is now the Lord of our lives. We are no longer the master of our lives. It's up to Him. He's now in charge. It's Him. I kind of give up. I throw in the towel. "Jesus, You are now in control. You are now Lord of my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord." Romans 10:9. And then it also says in that same verse, "Confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that" what? "I believe that God raised Him from the dead." I'll just put "dead" down here. Raise Him from the dead. We have to believe in the resurrection. We have to believe in the resurrection. Do you know there are some Christians? They can't be Christians because they don't believe in the resurrection. They'll teach and they'll say there was no resurrection. Why do they preach there was no resurrection? Because they preach that He never really died on the cross. Well, my Bible tells me that He died on the cross. My Bible tells me that 3 days later He rose from the dead. Amen? And that's what He did. And that's part of the gospel message. And Paul emphatically says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, which means He was resurrected, you will be what? Saved. You will be saved. Praise the Lord. So we know for sure that those are two of the requirements of the gospel message. I just like to throw all this stuff in here because I don't want to miss anything, and I don't want you to miss anything either. So we're coming down to the end. I think we only got one left. Mark 1:15. Mark 1 with 10. Mark in with this number 10. Mark 1:15. Jesus, when He first starts His ministry in the book of Mark, says, "Repent and believe the good news." Repent and believe the good news. You know, I can go for this, I can go for this, I can go for all this, but my lifestyle is going to be a model of what I believe. You are what you believe, my friends. You know, somebody asked me one time, do these people go to heaven? These people go to heaven. These people go to heaven. I don't know. You are what you believe. What do you believe? And whatever we are, whatever we believe. And if we believe what this book says, and we believe that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that it's not by works, I guarantee one thing is going to happen in the life of every believer. They are going to repent of their sins. And Jesus doesn't say, just believe. He says, repent and believe the good news. It's going to be a way of us showing the rest of the world that we are who we say is. All right, Jane Doe, come on back up here. How many people want Jane Doe to be saved? Yeah, I do. All right, Jane Doe wants to be saved, okay? Well, Jane Doe doesn't know it, but here's what I need to point out, my friends. I just want to say this. I can go all day and all week and all night and do, again, forget these because these are actually part of the next page. I can do all these things. And they might help water. They might help plants. But you know what's going to make her grow? The gospel. The message of Christ. So, when you're not Amber. You're Jane. Sorry, Jane. When Jane sees my good conduct, and she sees these other things that I do, my good works, all these, that, again, those are good things. But if I want Jane to be saved, at some point in time, listen, she needs to know the truth. She needs to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, here's how I want to conclude this. Maybe at some point in time, she knew about sin, and she heard about that. And she knew something about the Bible because she heard it from somebody. And she knew that it wasn't quite by works, and she kind of knows that from somebody else that Jesus is God. See, this was, somebody planted this, and somebody else planted this, and somebody watered this, and somebody planted this, and somebody watered this, and somebody planted this, and then somebody watered this, and somebody planted this, and somebody watered this. So at some point in time over her 21 years, do I have that right? 20 years on the face of this earth, she heard all this. And now what happens is this. She goes to work, and she works with Cindy Thompson. And she goes into work that morning, that Monday morning, and she sees Cindy. And Cindy says, how you doing today, Jane? She said, you know what? I had a great weekend. You know, I just know God loves me. And it's at that time for Jane Doe. The light comes on. Because now God, in His infinite wisdom, in the way He plans salvation, makes this and 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 this activated by this. By this. These in themselves don't save. It is the gospel that saves. But it is at some point in time where we do this planting and watering that triggers that salvation experience. All these things are good. She might even remember going down the road one day and seeing that bumper sticker or that license plate that had a scripture verse on it, and she even went home and read it to see what that said. But it is the Word of God that saves. So Jane Doe, are you saved now that you know the gospel message? Praise the Lord. Okay. Yay. Another soul in the kingdom. But we don't take credit for those other souls, do we? It's just our job. It's just our job to share some of this. And maybe we won't have an opportunity at one sitting to sit down with anybody. As Greg said, to be available, and as Cindy said, to listen, to sit down and share all this. But I assure you, my friends, it is this that saves. Why do I know this? Because it's what the Bible tells us. It's what the Bible tells us. In Romans chapter 10, it says this, starting with verse 14. If I leave Jane Doe and I say, Jane, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if that's all I told her, then Jane would ask this series of questions. Call on the name of the Lord and I'll be saved. Well, how can I believe in that person? The argument. How can they call on the name of Jesus if they haven't believed in Him? And then the argument goes on. Then Jane starts thinking, well, how can I believe if I've never heard this? And then the argument goes on. And how can she hear if someone doesn't tell her? And then the argument concludes in verse 15, by saying, we are the ones to tell her because in some way, shape, or form, we are the ones who are sent. You know that person in your office that sometimes on a bad day you say, I'm glad they're not saved. You know what? They're the ones that need saved. They're the ones that need you. And maybe you are in that office area for your whole life just because you are you and God has put you there to tell them this, the gospel message. There's a story in Acts. Well, let me back up before I tell that. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The gospel message. It's what saves. Do we need all of this? I'm going to play it safe and say, yes, we need all of this. But I know without the gospel message, I'm not saved. You're not saved. And Jane Doe is not going to get saved. I'll play it safe and tell her as much as I can. In Acts chapter 10, the whole chapter 10, there's a story about a man named Cornelius. Starts off by saying he's a God-fearing man. But Cornelius had a vision and said, send some guys to Peter. Peter had a vision from the Spirit that said, you need to go see Cornelius. Gee, that's kind of just the way God works things, isn't it? Peter shows up at Cornelius' house. Now remember, he's a God-fearing man. What does Cornelius need to hear? What does Peter do in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43? He goes up and he shares the gospel with Cornelius. But why share the gospel with Cornelius? He's a God-fearing man. Because without the gospel, you don't get saved. It's that simple. You need to have an evangelist in your life. Someone to come to you. Someone who's going to share the gospel with you. I'm going to end with this. And this is going to be a little tough for some people in here, and I understand that. There are, over the last couple months, I have heard this. I have heard that Muslims are getting saved because they are having dreams of Jesus. Okay? Muslims are getting saved because they have dreams of Jesus. It made me curious, so I decided to do some research to see what exactly is all this dream stuff all about. And it said on the internet exactly what I thought it would say. From the 30days.net website, it says this, and I quote, probably the most striking surprise is the powerful role that dreams and visions have played in drawing people to Jesus. Over one-fourth of those surveyed state quite emphatically that dreams and visions were key in drawing them to Christ. Rick Love, the International Director of Frontiers, writes this, in like manner, he reveals himself to Muslims through dreams and visions, just as God prepared Cornelius to hear the gospel through a vision. So God is preparing a multitude of Muslims to respond to His good news. A couple key words there is this. Preparing. The vision didn't save them. I'm not going to deny they didn't have the vision. The vision prepared them. Cornelius had a vision. It prepared him. What did Cornelius need to hear? He needed to hear what, my friends? The Word of God. He needed to hear the gospel message. And so does this Muslim. JesusVisions.org website, and I quote, a dear friend of our ministry, a former Muslim from India, envisioned a cross moving toward him and growing brighter and brighter in a dream. But he came to personal faith in Jesus because a street evangelist witnessed to him. End quote. Just what I thought. The dream doesn't save. The witnessing saves. The evangelism saves. The gospel saves. One last one from another website. A Muslim man from Pakistan wrote to me saying, "On the 30th of May, I again saw Jesus in my dreams. In the beginning, I was not able to come near him, but this time I could touch him. He gave me a box that I could not open after he vanished. Please send me some information on what this dream means." Even though the Pakistani man was in contact with Jesus through dreams, he still needed an evangelist. We sent him a gospel, a Bible and gospel literature. So I'll meet you halfway. Okay, the Muslims are having dreams. That's a good thing. My friends, simple. You have to come to the knowledge of the truth. You have to come to the knowledge of the truth. God uses us. He uses Cindy, he uses Mike, he uses Phil, he uses Pete, he uses Teresa, he uses Lee, he uses all of us to go on out so we can proclaim this. And maybe we are just planters and waterers and this is all that we can do and we're just not quite sure about doing this. Let me assure you, when the opportunity arises, this is what you need to share. Because Jane Doe, I really want her to get saved. And I can't expect Margie Fields to be the one who's going to tell her. This is what you need to hear. Because this is what's going to save you. Is the Word of God. Evangelism. It's not just my responsibility, folks. And I'm looking at my friend Billy Coffey back there. And I know that he's been a pastor and pastored churches for many years. Guess what, Billy? It's not just up to you and I, buddy. It's not just us. See all these other people in here? We are all evangelists in some way, shape, or form. We all need to spread the gospel message because this is what we need to hear. This is what saves. Let's pray.